Like Ian, this was one of my favorite passages growing up. So let's try this together. Let's do a Bible memorization. Because when we memorize the word, it provides strength for us throughout the week. How many of you have a practice of memorizing scripture? Great, church. We get to do it together today. So I have come. Repeat after me. I have come. That you may have life. And have it abundantly. Let's try it one more time. I have come. That you may have life and have it abundantly. That's it, the sermon, thanks be to God. No, just kidding. When I lived in Michigan, I lived in this town that was voted as the happiest place to live. Faye, that's where your family's from. And it was a trustworthy place. It was a place of perceived connection, perceived community, and perceived well-being. And I keep saying perceived because an event happened that disrupted that trust. Now, I had a bike that I mainly used to get around because it was a small enough town that I could use this bike to go to and from. It was on Lake Michigan, so I could enjoy the bike ride out to the lake. One day, as I was coming back from my seminary class, I had to run into my seminary apartment very briefly, and I left the bike unlocked out front. It's a safe community, right? It's a trustworthy community. It's a happy community. And as I came back out, no more than an hour later, my beautiful, well, couple-hundred-dollar bike was not there anymore. Now, I thought, well, surely I misplaced the bike. So I went around to the back of the apartment. Maybe I parked it there. It was finals week, after all. I was thinking of multiple different things. But as I kept looking around these townhouses of the safe seminary housing, there was no bike to be found. The safety, the security, the happiness was disrupted because a thief stole my bike. Surely this would not happen in this community, in this small town in Michigan, would it? But it did. I think what's so disrupting about a thief stealing an object from us is not so much that the object that was stolen is stolen, but it's the feelings of vulnerability, it's the feelings of distrust that happen, it's the feelings of, well, what else might they steal? How many of you have had something stolen from you? You know these feelings that I'm talking about. Sure, the object we have stolen is very important, but it's those feelings that we have left lingering afterwards of, am I safe now? Can I trust my neighbor? All of a sudden, I started thinking things about my seminary colleagues. Did they steal my bike? Now, surely, this is not the ideal of community now. A thief comes to steal. But Jesus has come to bring abundant life, which leads us to this text today in the gospel. We're going to be flipping around in our Bibles, so let's open up our Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It's on page what, 126? Well, thank you, Liz. 126. And to understand the Gospel of John, we have to look a little later in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are wonderful. They give us a discourse on different ideas on the life and the ministry of Jesus. They give us how to converse, like what we do in adult education. We have different perspectives on what's going on here in this thing called the life and ministry of Jesus. And the Gospels give us different perspectives. And John is a wonderful gospel because he's very clear about what his message is and what his purpose of his gospel is. So keep your hand in John 10 and flip with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And at the very end of the gospel, John makes it very plain. He writes a thesis statement about why he's writing this gospel. Yes, thank you. What page is it, Liz? 140, thank you. John writes, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. That's his thesis. The whole point of John is that all of the signs and the miracles that he writes about, and he's got a lot of signs and miracles. There's a lot of miraculous things going on in the Gospel of John, to point to faith in Christ so that Jesus brings abundant life. Repeat after me. I have come to bring life and to bring it abundantly. The whole point of John, good job, church, the whole point of John is that the signs and wonders that are written about bring us to faith and life abundantly, and not in a possibility of a faraway place that we have named as heaven, but here and now. Now that's big. That's what we're looking at in the Gospel of John chapter 10. The salvation for John in chapter 10 is concerned with this life, not the life after this life. Having life in his name is about the restorative work of Christ in our day-to-day lives as we traverse the streets of New York and around the world. It is for that reason that John chapter 10 can't be read alone, because if the whole book, the whole thrust, the whole thesis of John is about signs and miracles, then we need to say, where is the miracle in this gospel that Jesus is talking about? So we look back, Gospel of John chapter 9. We flip back now. The discourse from Jesus in chapter 10 is a commentary on the healing that he performs in 9. You can quickly look over that. In chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road, as they do much of their ministry is walking and noticing, which is much of our ministry, and they come to this blind man, and his disciples say, "Rabbi, was it him or his family that sinned? And that's why he's blind." Now, there was an assumption in that day that if there was a deformity or someone was different body ability, had a different body ability, that it was because of a sin. And Jesus says, neither. He is this way so that the works and the glory of God may be performed through him, and so that the community can come to abundant life. So in John chapter 9, Jesus heals this blind man. Then there's some discourse among the Pharisees. And in the chapter 10, Jesus offers his commentary on it. This is the thrust of the Gospel of John over and over. Jesus commenting on his signs and wonders. Jesus then does this wondrous, miraculous healing through this God, the God medicine of saliva and dirt. And he mixes it together and puts it on his eyes, and the blind man is healed. Restoring his sight is a miracle in itself, but the miracle is not so much the restoration of his sight, as that in being able to see again, he's restored back to community. The stigma around him is removed, and his community welcomes him back into abundant life. That's the whole thrust of Jesus, is that these signs and wonders are us being restored back into community. What has stigmatized us, what has ostracized us from the community, is now a restoration back to community. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. A thief comes to take you away from community. Jesus comes to restore you to community. The thief is anyone who stands in the way of abundant life. Jesus promises joy and peace and meaning and restoration to your community. A thief robs us of the community we belong to. Have any of you ever felt like you didn't belong to your community? I have at different times. The movement of Jesus is one of restoration to that community, restoration to belonging, of love, and connected interdependence. For John 10, salvation is about the restoration of community. Abundant life is about the mutual vitality of interconnectedness we find throughout the Gospel of John through the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. For the Gospel of John, Jesus performs signs and miracles to lead us to the promise of abundant life for the entire community here on this earth. When my bike was stolen in that safe, happy town in Michigan, my sense of security and my sense of belonging was disrupted. I felt vulnerable. I felt hyper aware. I felt suspicious. Could I trust this person? Could I trust someone who looks like me or who didn't look like me? A thief comes to rob us from life, but the way of Jesus connects us to life and connects us to each other. For Jesus and the Christian church, the thief is anyone who tries to take life from us and our community. The thief might be the voices in our head that tell you you aren't smart enough, you aren't pretty enough, you aren't good enough, or that you aren't worthy of love. The thief is the one who tries to steal health care or human rights. The thief is the one who creates bigger divides of us versus them. But the way of Jesus is a way of abundant life here and now, not just personal, but always communal. Abundant life is security, trustworthiness, equity, and joy. Abundant life is the release of 82 Nigerian schoolgirls. How many of you saw that yesterday? Yeah, that's good news, indeed, that's good news. For 3 years, the collegiate churches have been praying and protesting and making noise at the Nigerian embassy, and 82 of them were released yesterday, 112 more to go. Abundant life is the faithfulness of God releasing those girls. Abundant life is that it's not that we are striving for happiness, but that in our following Jesus, we find happiness and joy and meaning along the way. Abundant life is found in the one who heals the blind and offers bread to the hungry. Abundant life is found every Tuesday at a Taste of Heaven here in these corridors of West End and Collegiate Church. Then in following Jesus, we find joy. And then in joy, we are sent out as a church, each one of us, to offer abundant life to the communities that we work and that we live in. From Wall Street to the Upper West Side, to the Bronx, to even New Jersey, abundant life is offered, and people are welcome to come and participate. Abundant life is not just about the forgiveness of sins, though that is good news, but about the church being sent forth by Jesus to serve and to organize and to offer abundant life and meaning to the communities around us. My friend and poet, Padre Gotuma, who has a special connection with the Holy Spirit, I think. He leads the Corrymeela community in Northern Ireland. It's a peace community. And he writes these questions for us to consider in this text this week. And if you are someone who likes to read the story after you leave this place, I encourage you to get out a pen and perhaps write these questions down. They're good questions. They're soulful, prayerful questions. Padraig invites us to ask these questions when we make decisions. How can we make decisions in a way that calls all to belong rather than robs many of connection? How can we follow life abundant? How can we deepen the paths of life and love in all of our work? This scripture passage in the ministry and life of Jesus invites us to consider how our personal choices invite life abundance to the community and to our lives as individuals. Life abundance is one where we are interconnected. The choices we make affect the people in the pews next to us. May God correct us when we are the thieves in robbing others from abundant life. May we serve as a reminder to each other that we are worthy of love and worthy of abundant life just as we are. May we be the church that lives in a way that abundant life is noticeable through how we treat each other, especially how we treat the ones not part of this community. May the Holy Spirit grant us abundant life as we follow the way of Christ. Abundant life is yours as we come to this table of bread and wine. And here in this church, we say that everybody belongs. Just come. Come and experience grace. Come and experience abundant life and perhaps taste it in the bread and the wine today. Come as you are. My friends, I offer us a prayer from Padraig as we consider this scripture of living in a way of abundant life this week. Let us pray. Jesus, towards the end of your life, you began to see the consequences of living the way you live, and you continue to live that way anyway. May we, who know the consequences of speaking for the outsider or being the outsider, including the hatred or being the hatred, find the courage to follow you into life and love, even as we go through the valleys of death and separation along the way. Because this is the way of Easter. You have gone this way first. Amen.